I remember I'll start it off with a giant brag and be like, I remember when I went to Australia for study abroad. And I was there for 5 months, 5, 6 months. And there was a whole bunch of Europeans there that were also like, mid 20s or whatever, or low 20s, I should say. And we're like, hey, like, are you going to university? And they're like, oh, no, this is our travel year. I'm like, what is your travel year? And they called it something else. But literally between high school and college, before they go to university, a lot of these European that we ran into, small, I'm talking about like 40, 50, 60 people at the most that we ran into, were like, oh no, before we go into university, we just take a year and travel the world and just experience like different life. Like that's there. They're always like, that's not a thing in the US. And we're like, no, no, that's not a. That's not something that's really talked about. And it's.
Unless it's Rumspringer,
Yeah.
right? That
We
was
get some of that in Wisconsin.
Yeah, for
Every now and
sure.
then you'll find some Amish folk out. But yeah, man, I agree. Just like the boxiness of what life is. And I remember like that's my story. I was like, what? You would travel the world? And at first I was like, you sound insane. And then, after like being there for a moment, I'm like, why don't other people do this? Why, like, why is, it's hard to explain without sounding like really out there, but realistically, like, why should you do all like, why do you fit in the mold of I go to elementary school, middle school, high school, college, get a degree, sit in an office, watch sports, get fat, bitch about my life, and then die? Like, why do you want to do that? That doesn't seem like something that you want to do.
Yeah, it's crazy. I
Right?
was
So
really
you know what
unhappy.
you do instead, Isaac?
Tell me.
You start an aero company.
It's one path. It's crazy enough.
Right.
Yeah. I mean, like we were talking before you hit record, like at the start, I told my wife all I wanted to do was be able to write off my hunting expenses. And now here we are with this company that, has real bills and salaries, and it's crazy. And it's only been, a year and a half since it was just me. And I'm thankful on one hand, but also like, challenged and like had to become a different person in a big way to like adapt with this stuff. And it's been crazy, man.
Dude,
Crazy.
I don't, I haven't, I've never had employees. I've been close. Like, I used to work with my dad a lot, who was the owner of a company. And I now work at a small, like, startup kind of, I won't, it's not necessarily a startup anymore, but in software terms, it still is. Work at a software company now. And the thought process that goes through someone's head when they are, you're literally selling a year and a half ago, you're in the shop, you're making your own money, and you're just like, yeah, if I get out this batch of arrows, I make this much money. And you're doing it for yourself. Then you hire someone, and now all of a sudden, that person and their family and their relatives depend on you to do well so that they can eat at night. Right? And then all of a sudden, you
It's
add another
insane.
one.
That's a
And
lot of
another one.
process for sure.
Yeah, that's, I can easily see why you'd become a different person.
Well, I mean, yeah, I don't know. The amount of new skills that I've had to learn on the fly, it's kind of crazy. And we're just getting started, honestly. So it's nuts. Yeah, it's crazy.
How
It's
much?
been a lot of fun, but also very challenging.
Feel free to not just be to say like, I don't want to tell you that. All right. But like percentage wise, how much have you guys grown since you started hiring people a year and a half ago?
I can tell you, let's see.
maybe not even percentage wise, just like
two. Yeah, I'll tell you.
Okay. Here. To everybody listening, he's very intently looking.
I'm using my calculator. So I think it's about 58x since in a year and a half.
That's fucking nuts, dude.
Which it was very small at the beginning.
But still, like, you know, but, it's just for rough numbers, you go from selling like 100 arrows to 5,800 arrows, right? You go from selling 1,000 arrows to 58,000 arrows. Like,
right. Yeah. That's,
if you went from 2,000 arrows to 116,000 arrows, like, that's a shit ton of difference.
Yeah.
Right? And I don't know. Yeah.
And yeah, it was all I could keep up with on my own at that time. And then once we started just scaling the production, like the growth always kept up with us. So it's pretty cool. So
yeah.
Yeah. Oh, awesome. I think a lot of things are going to change in the next couple of years. I think that a lot more aero companies are going to start doing this. And we will have been the first, you know, but there will be a lot of, other companies trying to implement exactly what we're doing. And it's not because they're copying. It's just because that's a logical progression. We were just able to capitalize on arrows as a service as well as a product at the right time. Because, like, you look at, you know, the big companies that sell arrows, you know, quality arrows for hunting through primarily retail, like whether it's Lancaster or your local archery shop, like the retail model is hard to get away from. And so we had the luxury of just starting off direct to consumer. We could do whatever we want. We could ship that box however we wanted to, but we wanted it to be fully built to fit the end user. And even that, man, it was it's been a crap show at times, learning to manufacture product and just not being able to have shelves and shelves of finished product on the shelf ready to ship. Everything has to be built to the user's specs. So, it's what a process. I mean, just one of those other hats you got to learn to wear is manufacturing product. Like we're not making the shafts in house. Like, stuff comes to us in pieces, but it's still, you know, to a great degree is manufacturing. It's all the assembly that goes into that, keeping tolerances. Like, I mean, the product has come a long way in a year and a half. You probably know that yourself. Like,
yeah,
we've come a long freaking way. So
no, that's all. So yeah, give your intro, Isaac.
Sure. Okay, so
you go for it.
All right. Yeah, so my name is Isaac. I started this company that's now called Method Archery. Originally, it was called Vector Arrows, but we had to change that recently due to some legal issues with another company that we just didn't want to spend the money in court over a name, and they claimed rights to it, and, you know, we just were like, whatever, let's just change our name. We wanted to change some other things at the same time. And so we just did a rebrand, kind of hot swapped it. And we just get to keep making product because that's really all we care about. And so Method Archery now is different from other arrow companies because we aim to take the hard part out of getting a high performing set of arrows, which is just like knowing how to build them. And it's not just like knowing how to run a fletching jig. It's knowing what helical should I put on this vane? What kind of vanes should I use? What spine should I pick? Am I 325 or 350? Or, you know, how heavy should my point be? What broadhead weight should I use? Like, all those things. So really, we've simplified it to where you go on our website, methodarchery.com, you plug in you pick one of two arrow systems. The HMR is a little heavier, ZMR is kind of a midweight. Both are great options for hunting, you know, pretty much any animal in North America. And You just plug in your draw weight, draw length, point weight, which, you know, should match your broadhead weight that you intend to hunt with, your bow model, things like that. And then you just pick what kind of vanes you want, which is based on what kind of head you're going to shoot, whether fixed or mechanical, things like that. And then it just spits out right on the website, spits out how much is your arrow going to weigh, what the FOC is going to be. And then you can see, once you add it to cart, you can actually see, like, it's a 325 spine with a 55 grain insert, you know, and your total arrow weight and all that stuff. And then when you buy that set of arrows from us at Method, in under 2 weeks, we ship it to your door, fully assembled, ready to shoot right out of the box with the field point installed and everything. And then, you know, when you lose enough arrows that you need to order more, you can just literally log in through your account, hit order more, the same thing as last time. You don't have to reset in your bow. And, you know, as long as you get that thing tuned up and you do your job as an archer to shoot, to execute a good shot, everything's guaranteed to tune. So we don't have tuning issues anymore at all, that I know of. I don't deal with customer support day to day, but I check in on it all the time. And virtually all tuning issues can be solved with a couple emails back and forth with our customer support team, because we've done the math to make the right arrow for your bow. So unless you put your draw length in the calculator wrong, it's going to tune for you. So yeah, and we've got a lot of fun stuff coming too. We're starting to host live support, like tech night. I don't have a name for it yet. Maybe you got a name for me. But Ben is one of my partners in the business, and he's really just great at tuning bows. Like, I've never been so dialed as when he was looking over my shoulder and he had the wrench in his hand and he was tinkering with my bow. And I'm, you know, I can't shoot spots because I'm gonna break all my own arrows. So he's a wizard, and he's been able to help, you know, at this point, thousands of people literally over email get super dialed, you know, with their hunting rig. And so we're taking that to kind of a live format where I don't know if it'll be on Zoom necessarily yet, but we're going to record them every Thursday night for a while and just see how it goes. So that's something kind of fun to look out for in the next couple of weeks. But Ben will go live, and you can join that through an invite on our website, or a link on our website, or an email. Just keep an eye out, because that'll be cool. And he'll have, you know, a couple points to cover every Thursday night, and then Q&A time where he can just help people live. They can turn on the camera and show, here's the problem I'm having. And hopefully it just benefits everyone to see, hey, here's a real problem somebody faced and how they fixed it. Like, that's the idea. So that's one kind of fun thing that's happening, because, you know, the arrow is a piece of the pie. You know, it's somewhere between 30 and 50% of the pie, in my opinion. The rest of it is the archer and the bow, right? So we aim to eliminate that whole chunk of the pie so you can have confidence that your arrow is right. Now we're working towards building those educational tools on getting your bow covered, getting that dialed. And there's a lot better people teaching shot execution than me on the internet. And so for now, you know, go check out, there's tons of coaching on the internet on, your form and execution and even exercise to, you know, be able to pull that off. So yeah, that's Method Archery, you know, and we chose that name because it's, you know, the method is everything in how your arrow is built. It's not, you know, toughest component arrow company. It's not, you know, lightest arrow company. I don't know. It's how that arrow is built to fit you that matters. So that's what it's all about.
Yeah. All right. Good
point. Rant over. We no, out of time?
It's good. It's good. And the thing that brought me to Method Vector previously Vector Custom Shop was just the fact that when Front of Center came out and people were talking about Front of Center, and it's Front of Center has been around for freaking ever. Basically, right. When it became popular about 3 years ago or so, I first heard it from Brian Call and Aaron Snyder on the Gritty Bowman podcast.
Yep.
And then started hearing it all over the place. And he kind of started trying to understand, you don't like some people will use a 243 to shoot a deer in the Midwest, but you're not going to shoot an elk with a 243, right? I mean, sure. You could. I don't know if it's illegal or not, but it's just probably not a good idea. You want to use something a lot bigger. So sure. When I started elk hunting out west, I was kind of curious, is there these guys, the Gritty Bowman podcast was talking about, what the difference between whitetails and elk are. And what you're talking about earlier, African game, pigs, there's difference in animals. You don't need, a 800 grain arrow to shoot a groundhog, right? Sure. And vice versa, you probably shouldn't shoot an elephant with a 200 grain arrow. That's not gonna, probably won't even put a dent in them. So there's gotta be extremes and there's gotta be a right fit. So I was really looking for something that was heavy enough that I could pass through very easily with deer and also be able to kill elk. So I was playing with all those numbers and then I came across your website and it was just literally I was doing all the math and I I'm decent at math, so I was running all the numbers and trying to figure out what I was doing. And I had bought great company, what do they sell?
Is that software?
No, it's a competitor of yours. It would be, I can't remember their name. And it's not because you're on the call. I just can't
remember. it's another arrow company?
Yeah. What the fuck? It's, it's not Magnum. It's a V.
Magnus?
It starts with V as well.
Valkyrie.
That's
it. Yeah. Yeah.
Okay. So I tried.
It's an awesome company. They're awesome.
Yeah. So I tried some Valkyrie arrows. However, it was more when I talked to them, and maybe they've changed. This was 4 years ago, 3-4 years ago. They're like, hey, yeah, all of these can work. Figure out what works best for you, and then go with it. And at that time, I was like, no, please no, I need you to tell me what to do.
It's expensive too. It's expensive to tinker.
It is very expensive to tinker with those. All right, I'll send you a 200 grain broadhead, a 250 and a 300 grain. And I'll also send you three different spines, figure out what flies best out of your bow. And at the time, I was like, okay, cool. I'll give it a shot. But my form was so poor that I couldn't figure out what was going on. So I was like, okay, this is not going anywhere.
Yeah.
I picked one and I was shooting it and it was hitting where I wanted it to 80% of the time. So I was like, okay.
Right.
And maybe the other times, I was, messing with my grip. I had some cam lean, had some torque, whatever it was, I was having problems. So then I was like, all right, I need to figure out a way to just get the exact right arrow that I know is going to tune well and then go from there. So that's when I was really looking for arrows. And then that's when I stumbled across Vector Custom Shop. And that's when I oh, this actually matches exactly up with the math that I was doing.
Right.
So I was like, all right, this works. So then at that point I knew I had the right arrow. And then from there, it was all about my form. And so then it eliminates, that's the part of the problem is when you're tuning a bow and it's not going well, Is it my grip? Is it my cam lean? Is it like my rest? Is it my arrow? Is it the broadhead? Is it the fletching? Am I getting good clearance? Like, what's going, there's 1900 things that could be going wrong, and every, no two shots are the same. You know, you don't have it in a hooter shooter and you're just like firing them out. So it's just like one of those things, like you say, 30 to 50% of the problem. To me, that was eliminating 50% of the problem.
Yeah.
And now I can focus on like three things. Here are the three things that could be going wrong. So that's how I like settled like on the setup that I have. This is the setup that's that awesome. I have. This is what I use. Plenty of front of center. Like, and I think the number that I kept hearing, you know, Trad Labs.
Oh yeah.
Yeah. So Trad Lab put out some, I was on a podcast or something like that, and he said like fixed blade broadheads will tune the best under, I can't think about
280.
Is it 380? Yeah.
280.
280. Yep. Okay. Yeah. Under 280 feet per second. Right. So like, that's also, that's another thing that like, when I did your calculator, it worked out to running, that arrow was running at like 270, 275. So I was like, perfect. I have the right amount of weight. I have like, everything should tune out very well. Mm-hmm. And then, and I've been shooting very, very well since, like, and I also like, I switched to a hinge 2 years, 2.5 years ago or so. And like, since I've had that, like, I could never, there's a friend of mine named Parker. And he's probably the best shot that I know personally. And I've never been able to beat him in anything. And not last year, but 2 years ago, I beat him in my own 3D tournament, which everyone called bullshit because I won my own tournament, but like, I shot with a group. So like, it was there, it was all recorded. Like, everyone saw. And it's just one of those things that, like, I feel like archery, a lot of archery, especially like 3D shooting and tack and all that, a lot of it comes down to confidence. If you ain't confident that you're going to hit that target at 80, like, you're going to be floating real hard.
right.
And you're just like, oh man, I don't know. Here, I'm going to lose this one. Set. Yeah.
Man, it's true. Confidence, confidence is what you're after.
Yeah. So like, that was my journey to get into like, to get into method is cool. Like, and I think a lot of people can relate to that. Cause if you're
absolutely, that's, I mean, that's the whole problem we were trying to solve for, is just, I mean, I built a lot of arrows for myself and friends before this turned into a thing. And, you know, I kind of just developed a system. Like, I realized I was just doing the same thing every time and everyone's happy. So it's just like, scale, you know, what's the scaled up version of that? Like, built the software tool and, you know, stuck to a set number of components that, you know, I know how to make an arrow that anyone would be happy with out of the same system and the same bunch of components. So, I mean, the simplicity is really the key, and it's not rocket surgery. Like, people get overwhelmed by arrow building. And
is rocket surgery doing surgery on a rocket?
Yeah, it's like, I guess. If a rocket needs surgery, don't call me, but I can build arrows. So, yeah, it's just not terribly complicated, even, but it seems like it would be at the beginning. And I think at this point, we've gotten it far enough that, you know, almost anybody would be happy with the builds that we're cranking out. It's not like a beginner thing. It's like, it's just about having the right fit. Like, you don't progress much further than the right fit. You know what I mean?
No, you can't. Like, that's why, you can't. And like, there's only so much, like, so much tech you can put in a bow, and only so much tech you can put in the arrow before, like, it's, you've pulled out, you know, that all the major issues, and now it's just up to the shooter. Right. I feel like Levi Morgan, arguably, like, the best archer in the world that has ever seen, still shoots the same target bow that he shot for years because it just like works.
Yeah, I mean, he'll probably shoot like a new model, but like he's doing the same stuff. Yeah.
So isn't it? I mean, I swear he shoots like this TRX 34 or some shit. I forget what it is.
I don't know. I bet Matthews has a new TRX every year practically.
whatever that bow is. But yeah. No, I mean, I guess the point is like you can only do so much before it's all up to the archer. You know?
Sure. Right. Well, that I mean, similarly, like people haven't shot at an elite level. Like people have always been able to, not always, but for a long time, 100 yards is, you know, in range for that upper echelon or of performers. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
And like now, you would look at the bows that they were shooting 12 years ago and be like, "Dang, that looks like something my grandpa would use," or whatever. I don't know. But you know, it's funny how not a lot has changed in achievable accuracy. I think it's easier to be accurate now, but like, you know, it was always possible to achieve a pretty high level of accuracy with like modern compound bow equipment. So, but yeah, it's just that it's just a learning curve, and any chance you can take to cut down your learning curve, like it's awesome. So
it is, it is. And yeah, I feel like one of the, before we move on, the one thing that I feel, or I feel like people who would do this, like the average hunter is going to run all this math out one time for the next like 3 years. And they're going to have to do it again. This is like one of those things that's just kind of like a pain in the ass. Like something that you learn for a brief period of time. Like when you're in the market for a bow, you're looking at all the different bows and then you finally buy your bow. And then 2-3 years go by and people are like, yeah, I got this. I'm like, sorry, I'm not even paying attention. Mm-hmm. I don't even know what bow that is. I got mine. I'm not even interested.
Right.
Right. But yeah. Okay. So I looked it up. Levi Morgan shoots the TRX 40. Like that's his target bow. But anyway. All right, so I had to look that up because I knew it was something in there. I knew it was a really long axle-to-axle.
Big one.
40 sounds
good. Yeah, he's the man. He's awesome.
Yeah. So we kind of touched on tack. We talked about it a little bit before, but you are hopping in your camper and going from tack to tack to tack to tack to tack. And you got a partnership with them where you guys are putting out tack. Tack, is it just the vanes or is, I mean their arrows?
Yeah, it's just like a wrap that has tack branding on it just for fun through the tour. And it's all the same arrows that we already produce. It's the HMR and the ZMR. They're both awesome hunting arrows. So like if you're the kind of guy who wants to shoot your hunting setup at tack, I would suggest checking these arrows out because they're great for tack. I've shot tack for a couple of years with them. And they're great for hunting. So, and if you, I mean, I don't want to say you should, because people go to those events with all different intentions. Like I know I've talked to a lot of people who don't even bow hunt, but they love to go to tack and they love to shoot target archery, and that's awesome. But for me, and I think about 2/3 of, you know, the people at tack, they want to shoot their hunting setup at tack to get that confidence boost with their hunting setup and to just understand the limitations of their gear better, which is incredibly important. You know, understand what happens shooting at an angle or at a longer distance or through some branches or, you know, all that stuff. That's awesome data collection to put towards your hunting, you know, hit.
Yeah.
So that's my intention going to Total Archery Challenge for all these years, and it's been so valuable for me. So I'm excited to be able to, we're going to be at every Total Archery Challenge event in 23. and we're going to be building the arrows at the event. So the best part of that is you don't have to worry about how many arrows you bring to Total Archery Challenge anymore, because even if you sight in with half a dozen ZMRs at home that we build you right now, you can get another dozen at the event. They're going to weigh the same. They're going to shoot the same. And you just keep shooting. So
have you done that at other TAC events?
No, we've never partnered with them on anything previously. So this is a brand new collaboration.
No shit.
With them. And yeah, I'm excited. We've really never even been set up to do events. Like, we're buying a tent for the first time. Like, we're, you know, we're fresh, man, fresh out of the gate. So we've never done events. We've never done anything like that.
Yeah. But
we're going big, you know, we're
no
we're
shit.
Taking the shop on the road to build arrows on the road at all 10 or 11 events. So
are you, I feel like you're going to have to like resupply. I honestly feel like you're going to sell a boatload of arrows at those events.
We're estimating in the thousands, you know, per event. So it's every event will have a pallet of stuff shipped to a location, and I'll have to go pick it up and get it all prepped, and it's gonna be fun.
Dude, that'll be awesome. That'll be a riot. Are you trying to sneak out and shoot each event too?
Yeah, we'll have a crew building arrows, so I'll just be able to talk to people and hang out and talk about arrows and go shoot and film videos, and I get the fun job now, which is going to be super fun, and I'm excited to meet a bunch of people and help a bunch of people out with their gear, and it's gonna be fun.
Yeah, no, that's awesome. Yeah. Are you guys gonna do any like the rhino? Do they do the rhino? I've never been to attack. Is like the metal rhino or whatever that is, or the metal?
Yeah, the iron rhino. Yeah, that's like a, gosh, got to be a 3/4 inch thick piece of steel shaped like a rhino, and there's maybe probably a 4 inch hole, 4 inches across.
Yeah,
hole like in the center of it, and if you shoot, I think it's like 52 yards. So if you shoot into the hole, then your name goes in a drawing for a Kefaru pack or something like that.
Yeah.
And
what's the one Chris B won a truck? Wasn't that 100 yards at a TAC event?
Yeah, so that's the other novelty shot. It's 111 yards on a caribou. If you 12 ring it, then your name goes in for the truck.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
Had, like, Chris spent like $1,000 shooting that.
Yeah, it's a good deal on a truck.
No shit. Yeah, he was like, he was 3 of the entries of 7 or 8 or something like that, and he won it. I remember watching that video. I was like, that was a good investment.
Yeah, no, I think there's quite a few more than that. I know that last year I was in 3 times last year, because I hit it 3 times. Yeah.
No shit.
It,
good for
yeah,
you.
I got three tickets in it between 2 TAC events last year. And
you didn't win.
Yeah, they said that there was 78 or 60, there's 76 or 78 names in over the whole tour. 10 events, 50,000 people. Dang. Yeah, pretty cool.
No shit. Good.
I was sure too. I was like, well, they're going to call me, and now I'm going to get it. How many people have three tickets in there, you know?
Was it a Tacoma? Is that out there?
I think it's normally a Chevy.
Oh, okay. Yeah. I thought it was a Taco.
No.
Because I was going to say it wasn't quite your Tundra that you're looking for.
No, I gotta get a bigger truck now, yeah, to tow stuff all over the country, because I had a Tacoma and I just sold it. And yeah.
I got a blue Ford with a silver topper that's got your name on it.
Yeah. I'm looking at F-150s now, and your text kind of was part of like chipping away at me, because I'm a Toyota fanboy, and so I thought, Taco's gone. I've had 3 Tacomas. Okay. I love Toyotas, because I've always been able to beat the crap out of a Tacoma and still sell it for at least exactly what I paid for it. So I can't
complain.
So, you know, obviously I'm going to look for a Tundra. But like you said, gas mileage is horrible. And I mean, I feel like I'm driving a tank. So I don't know.
That's
maybe look at an F-150.
Dude, the Tundras are like my, like, I am a 30,000 mile a year, 30 to 40,000 mile a year guy.
Yep.
And a lot of those for me are not towing shit.
Right.
And I just could not financially justify a Tundra that gets like 14 miles to the gallon versus an F-150 that gets like 20-ish.
Right. Oh, I hear you, man.
So like I was like,
I hear you.
Same. And for an extra like 10 grand, you get a Tundra. For like, Tundras are like 10 to 15 grand more than an F-150 for comparable miles and everything like that. True. And I was just like, I wanted a Tundra really bad.
Yeah,
like,
they're sexy.
Every time I see, like, I want a gunmetal gray Tundra with black rims. Like, that's what I want. And at some point, I'll own one and I'll dump it. But fuck, until then, I'm driving my blue F-150 with a silver topper.
I hear you, man. Yeah, I don't like to spend a lot on vehicles either. So I'm all about finding the most dependable older vehicle possible.
Yeah, dude, that's
so that's Toyota's just the other advantage of Toyota is right. I'm not scared of miles so bad, you know.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, well, what is Donnie Vincent? You know him, right? You heard
Yeah.
Sure. Yeah. He had, I think his Tacoma had like 400 and some thousand miles on it.
Yep.
You know?
Yep.
So yeah, it was something ridiculous like
pretty
that.
Cool.
But, dude, the Tacos and the Tundras, man, they run. They run for a long time. They're just
a million-mile truck. Yeah.
Yep.
Toyota's buying them back. A million miles.
Yeah. Yeah, pretty dude, cool. I've heard that. I've heard that for testing or whatever it is. Sure they just like, yeah, sure, I'll buy them back from you for 30 grand.
Yep.
Crazy. But yeah, I was going to say, so you're bouncing around tack to tack. All over the place. Yeah. Is there a difference? Like you'd mentioned that the ZMR is lighter and the HMR is heavier.
Yep.
Is there like, would you say a ZMR is a better target arrow because it's lighter? Or
yeah, for sure. It might even be a better hunting arrow because it's lighter. Like just depends what you're looking for. I mean, if all you're going to shoot is whitetails and, you know, pigs on a feeder, or if you're just really concerned about you know, total arrow weight, or you've had bad experiences and you need that weight to feel confident, like the HMR is a great option, you know, and it's a little bit stronger too. It's a stronger carbon, but the ZMR is like the perfect mid-weight do it all arrow, in my opinion, like 440 to 500 grains for most people. I mean, you can shoot about anything in North America with that, with, you know, a high degree of success. And I think that's a good arrow weight, and it's not so heavy that most people couldn't get tack distances out of their sight tape still. Like, you know, especially now with the dialed sight, like that added 30, 40, maybe more yards to my sight tape. I don't know, because I didn't have a super long sight tape on my Spot Hog before I switched to the dialed. But it added a lot of range. So now I have 27 inch draw. I pull like 70 pounds. So not an incredibly high energy setup with my short draw. So a 440 grain arrow, I can still get my tape to like, I think it was at elite. I stopped at 150 yards. It's crazy. So,
oh, shit.
I mean, yeah, at 440 grains, that's like towards the lighter end of, you know, builds that we're shipping with the ZMR. But even a little heavier than that, like you don't need to shoot 150 yards at tack. So
no,
if you can get to 110 and then figure out some holdovers for those special shots, like you're going to have a great time. Like you might donate one or two arrows, but you can have fun.
Oh man. Yeah. For my group of buddies, like 60 yards is pushing it.
Really?
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, That's probably perfectly reasonable. I mean, you really
in our neck people of shouldn't the woods,
shoot past that in whitetail world.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. You know, so right. Like when we do the archery shootout out at the playground, I think the furthest shot is like 57. I think that's what I set it at. And then we do a shoot down. We did a shoot down last year, which was really fun. Cool. Everyone got their name in a hat. And you guys donated half a dozen arrows for this shoot down.
Yeah.
Everyone got their name in a hat. And then you got to, everyone started at 25 yards and it was one-on-one and flip a coin to see who goes first. And then someone goes first. And then whoever has closest to the 12 ring wins and moves on.
That's cool.
So it's just like pressure and everyone else is standing around watching you. So it's, yeah, that's all it that's was.
Awesome.
It was really fun. Yeah. The winners ended up moving out. They started and every round we move it back roughly like 5, 6, 7 yards. We try to do oddball yardages. So not like 20, 30, 40. It's like 20, yeah. 34, 47. Like cool. Oddballs that are not going to fit well with a sight. Like that's not a slider or whatever.
Right.
Yeah. The championship ended up going at like 62 yards. And that kid I was telling you about, Parker, he had T12 ringed it at 62. And it was just like, awesome. Well, and the other guy had a tenner, but it wasn't good enough.
That's awesome.
Yeah, that was.
Love it.
Yep. But yeah, no, dude, I wanted to ask you that just because I've like, if you were going to build like a 3D setup, like you probably want to roll with the ZMR. And get a lighter arrow.
I think so. I mean, I would say that's the one that just covers all the bases, unless you specifically want something heavier, then go to the HMR. But yeah.
Yeah. Or 100, if you really
100
want
or 125 grain head, 100 or 125, plug your specs in and rock and roll. I mean, pick the big four fletch vanes if you want to think about tuning a little less, and you're good. Like, that's what I shoot. I tune my bows, you know, religiously, but I still shoot that big four fletch arrow, the four fletch 26s, and I just love it. So, yeah.
Yeah. What is that? What has that taught you? What is like, you have all those fletching patterns and you mentioned four fletch, and I know you got like four fletch straight, four fletch helical, you got three fletch.
Yeah.
Helical. Like, what has that taught you through this process?
Okay, so it goes beyond just vanes. It's what we've learned from looking at spreadsheets full of thousands of people's builds and looking at what's working and what's not working, as well as now with data kills, kill data from hundreds and hundreds of bow hunters tracking what's working, what's not working. I mean, it's a lot of effort to get to a super, super simple answer, which is don't shoot something super light. Don't shoot something super heavy. There's this moderate range in the middle where the people have the most success. Don't shoot something that has a super giant broadhead. Don't shoot something that's a really small cut. Like there's just this middle ground where everybody seems to have the most success. And it's just, you know, it's obvious that applies to everything in life. Like, don't be crazy far left. Don't be crazy far right. Right. Like, in the middle or a little right, probably. but I don't know that. And we've changed our product to match what we see people having the most success with. So now with vanes, there's four vane options. Two of them are three fletch, two of them are four fletch. Don't overthink it. There's a little graph in the description on the arrow page that says, you know, depending on what broadhead you're using, pick this vane. It's that simple. I don't think it needs to be any more difficult than that. And then you can pick right or left helical and it doesn't matter. That's just preference. If you think left is cool, shoot left. Like, It's that simple.
Really?
Some people clock their bare shafts and pick right or left that way, or look at the twist of their bowstring. Google that stuff if you care. I'm always going to shoot right because I always have. And I don't think I can shoot the difference. You know I can't shoot the difference. So,
no shit.
Yeah.
I remember seeing something like that on a Levi Morgan video. And,
yep.
And I remember also thinking afterwards, like, I'm not even good enough to know the difference. So, like, I'm just going to.
Yeah. I believe that some people with some setups can shoot the difference, you know. But with a broadhead, I know I can't. So,
interesting.
Yeah, we've tried to simplify it, and we've been able to keep simplifying things to where I know that I can help out anybody shoot, you know, ideally as good as they ever have with arrows right out of the box. Because we're still learning to just focus on the things that matter and make a difference. To help people be more successful. And that even goes to like total air weight and the FOC, like you were saying earlier. Like, I am convinced now that it is more effective for a bow hunter to choose kind of a moderate weight arrow rather than a heavy arrow. Like, I used to be more concerned about people getting enough penetration, but turns out it's way more important that you're in tune. Tune is way more important than how heavy your arrow is. For penetration, you know, perfect arrow flight is everything. So having the right arrow and then going and putting all your attention into getting tuned well, that's the most important thing, hands down. You know, not having a 650 grain arrow so that you can break bones. Like that is not true anymore with modern equipment. It might not have been true back when those studies were done even. So I think, you know, we've changed our approach to a lot of things. And it's just by looking at data and being fortunate enough to crowdsource data from thousands of customers, intentionally collecting feedback, talking to as many of them as we can. Like, man, I think we're nearing a sweet spot where we only have a couple products, you know, but they will cover all the bases for any bow hunter in North America and beyond to a great extent. You know, we do, you know, if you got a Cape Buffalo hunt, email us. Don't build an arrow right through the calculator, even though if you did, you'd probably be fine, but you might need something a little different, you know, so, or just,
right.
You know, more attention to your setup, because those things will hurt you.
What about bison? That'd be like the biggest animal in North America that you'd have a hard time getting through.
Yeah. So, great
Maybe
question.
Would be the other one, but yeah.
Yeah. A lot of hair and dirt and stuff. Yeah. I was just on a bison hunt. Is that where you're asking that?
No,
oh,
I didn't know
yeah,
that.
Dude. Yeah. So my friend Braxton from Haxon Hunt, you might know that YouTube channel.
Yeah. Yep.
Braxton drew the Henry Mountain free range bison tag. And he's mid 20s. And so, you know, it's pretty epic that he drew it, because that's like a 30 year draw.
Yeah.
And it was his fourth year putting in. And so he was talking to me about, let's build some arrows for this bison hunt. And I was like, dude, can I come film that? Because in my previous career, I was running a camera. So, you know, any chance to go film, I love that stuff. So I went along with him 7 days in the snow, January archery hunt in the mountains of Utah. And it was brutal and it was awesome. And, we shot a respectable cow on the last day, day seven. And he shot it multiple times. But the kicker was, man, kind of giving away the story a little bit. So
You're fine.
I'll refrain from some of it because it's going to be a great film and we're really hustling to get it edited.
Is it going to be on the Haxon? Is it going to be on that YouTube channel?
It's going to be both. Since it was 7 days of like straight action, it was freaking just the best hunt ever. Like, I don't know what's going to top it. But dude, it was so much action and it was so hard. It was just snowing and it was brutal. But I think we'll do like a short version on our channel that's a little more polished. And then like long form every day is going to go up on Haxon. So, because there's just so much, you know, that was just part of the experience that, you know, we'll put that on his YouTube channel.
Yeah. Is that, how do you spell it? Haxton?
Haxen, Haxon Hunt.
Haxon.
Yeah. So, but basically a piece of the story that I'll give away is he shot a 100-grain broadhead. He shot our 100-grain VBS with the small bleeder to prove a point. And a ZMR, which was the lighter arrow that we offer. And I think his total arrow weight was 508 grains, which sounds heavy, and it is heavy. But he got a pass through on the first shot, but it was a little back. And Buffalo.
You said the total, I'm sorry, you said the total was 508.
Yeah, he shoots 80 pounds. So that bumped him to a higher spine and all that stuff.
Sure.
So ZMR is not going to get much heavier unless he went to a heavier broadhead. But 100 grain broadhead, wider arrow that we make. And so standard build right out of the calculator. Is that what you get?
No, I'm laughing because I'm looking at, why do I know Haxon Hunt? It's because Jake Belinda was on here like
a month ago. yeah, same hunt. He was there.
Yeah, that's why I knew, like, I was like, dude, I know someone who just went on a freaking buffalo hunt. All right, anyway, I'm sorry. Hunt. So
yeah, so he shot it a little back. The arrow was hanging out of that bison by the veins on the other side. So the entire arrow was sticking out the other side. 25 hours later and 13 miles or so tracking this bison, we get another shot. And that same arrow had fallen out right before we caught up to this bison. He picked up that same arrow and shot it again with the same arrow and killed the bison. So arrow was intact for a dozen miles in 24 hours. Through the mountains, through canyons, rocks, fell out, and it was just fine. He shot it again, same arrow, right in the heart. Epic. So
that's fucking nuts.
Yeah, get tuned and practice. Work on your bow. Work on yourself. Give the method system a try. Because, I'm pretty proud of it. Honestly,
yeah, I mean, yeah. So 508 grains, you know, it's not like, that's not like, you'll see guys shooting 600 for whitetails, right?
Yeah. Yep. Sure.
You know, and a lot of the numbers like prove out, like I shoot 535, mm-hmm. but that's because I have a 31 inch draw and I shoot 75 pounds.
Yeah. So, you're screaming fast. Right. It's all relative. You know,
it is.
And we want to put these like labels on a total air weight, like it means something. But it doesn't unless you look at the whole system.
Right.
You know? So
right. 100%, man.
Your arrow's like about 100 grains heavier than mine, but they're probably going about the same speed.
Yeah, exactly.
Crazy. And
I think Aaron Snyder always, like, I listen to a lot of his podcasts, or I used to at least. Mm-hmm. And he always said, like, yeah, like people who have a long draw weight just naturally can shoot like longer arrows and have more power. Like, it's just a fact. Like, there's nothing.
Sure.
Unless you shoot more poundage. Like, that's the only way you can overcome it. Right.
Right.
27 inch draw with 85 pounds is similar to a 31 inch draw at like 65 pounds. Like, it just like, it's gears, man. They just all turn. And so you just figure it out. Right.
Yeah, definitely.
Okay. No, so then with those, like, we got on the ZMRs and HMRs, and I asked about the bison. Just, I didn't even know you were on that hunt. That's hilarious.
Yeah, yeah.
You brought that.
I just don't. I don't post on social that much personally. I don't think I have in like maybe 2 years, honestly. Well, so
maybe, but now that you're like, you know, head of marketing for Method, you might like post.
Nah, nobody cares about me. They care about arrows and method. So
yeah,
I don't know. That bison hunt, it was awesome.
Good. Okay. All
It
right.
proved
So,
something to me, you know,
oh,
about
I
the
bet.
arrow weight stuff.
Yeah. And I didn't see the post. I see it as the third post right now with the bison. But so with that, like, so that's one end of the spectrum, right? And you guys had a ridiculously fun and crazy cool pig hunt in Texas, which is somewhat of the other end of the spectrum, which is small and fast versus big and lumbering.
Yeah,
right?
Dude, it was a
I wanted
riot.
To ask you about, I wanted to talk about the Texas hunt, and this is a great, like, I tried, what did you think of that transition? Was that a good transition?
Oh, I think you nailed it.
Would that, yeah, I think I did. I feel good about that one. I feel good. I feel
Dude,
like sometimes, yeah, like when I listen to the meat eater and they go, here's a transition for you, I'm like, that wasn't even that good. You could have done better. And so I like try to work on my transitions there. So
yeah,
anyway,
you just say it after you do the transition.
Yeah, I do. That way, like, it's not, I can be like, how was that? Like, not preparing.
Nice. I like it. I like it.
All right. Tell me,
pig
yeah,
hunting
tell me
is,
about the pig hunt, dude. I want to hear about that.
Yeah, pig hunting's fun. I mean, they're really tough little critters. And by little, I mean like bigger than a whitetail sometimes. So they, there's just so many of them down there, and you get access to a good property, and it's just like a gold mine for testing products. So we also have a whole warehouse now full of, I think we took 9 guys down there. This was the Christmas present to our shop staff. We took
nice
my truck and our production manager drove his wife's van, and we've just loaded up all these guys. Most of them are younger guys, but all of them hadn't like shot a ton of animals with a bow, and I think at least half of them had never shot a bow at an animal at all. And they only had a bow because they work here, and we made them get a bow. And so we get down there. I think we roll up to the ranch, and this place is run by a friend of mine. He started as a customer, now he's a friend of ours, who manages this ranch. It's 1,000 acres, maybe a little bit less than 1,000 acres, full of exotics, red stag, you know, axis deer, oddad, black bucks, cool critters from all over the world. And you're just surrounded by wildlife, like the whole time is just so fun.
Yeah.
But the pigs in there are the truly wild animal. They're not supposed to be there. He's tried many times to eradicate them, and they just multiply out of control. So inside of this 800 to 1,000 acre piece of property, there's something like 300 pigs that are not supposed to be there. So we can go shoot those for free. Very grateful for our buddy Ben letting us in to do it. And so we roll in. I think we get to Texas about, or get to the ranch about like 5 p.m. It's getting dark. We're thinking, oh, we missed a chance to sit the first night. Because he's got feeders out with corn dropping, and those hogs come clean up corn like clockwork. So, we ended up sitting the next night, and among the 9 guys, we shot 19 hogs that first sit. Yeah. And it was, dude, it was like a crime scene. I mean, just, we just drove around and picked up everybody's hogs. And I mean, we posted a video of it on our Instagram story recently. It was like one of our speed vlogs, and it's just total carnage, man. I mean, we threw 19 hogs in the back of my truck, and it just looked awesome. It was just so cool. And just all these guys, dude, they rose to the occasion. Like one of our guys, we call him Trout. His name's Travis. Before this, he worked in the kitchen at a vegan restaurant.
No
and,
shit.
Yeah. And now he builds arrows in our shop. And to see his eyes just like wide and like he just like turned into this animal. You know, he wasn't a vegan, but I just think it's a funny detail. Because now he's like, he's running around with his bow. And I think, I don't know how many pigs he killed, like 4 or 5. And he was just like amped, just rabid. So yeah, it was a good time. And then I think we just dropped the hammer a little too hard that first sit, because then we didn't see a single pig the rest of the trip. I think we were there for 3 days. Yeah, and they just like stayed in their holes, man. They're like, man, you killed all my brothers and sisters. I'm not coming out to corn for a few days.
Jesus. Cool. Good
that was
thing
good.
You guys dropped the hammer the first night.
Yeah, I mean, it was fun. But the problem was, we thought, cool, we're just cleaning them out. We don't need to take meat from the first night, you know, because we're going to shoot a bunch tomorrow night too.
Sure.
No, so one of the kids on our crew wanted to, you know, quarter out a hog. And so we hung it up and took care of the meat from one hog out of 19. And all of us are expecting to take a whole cooler full of meat home. Still,
yeah,
you know, because we got two more nights. Nope, didn't kill another pig. So we managed to come home empty, threw all those in a pile in the woods. Like, you know, it's what everybody does in Texas. Like, they're hogs. And
yeah.
And managed to come home mostly empty. So,
oh my God.
Lesson learned. Just never assume that you're going to get more, you know?
Isaac, that's a rookie mistake, bro.
I know. Yeah.
That's like on the first day of like a 10-day trip. You see a nice bull elk and you're like, ah, there's going to be more. And you never fucking see another one.
Nope. For sure. Yep. It was a blast. And we left Texas. We've got another friend named Hunter who lives down near Corpus Christi, who manages a property that's got a whitetail problem, and he gets depredation tags. And it's just another awesome opportunity to test equipment. He shot over 100 deer with a bow last year, and we just started sending anything that we wanted to test down to Hunter, because you know he's going to shoot, you know, 7 or 8 animals with anything before giving you feedback. And we actually met Hunter because he bought, when we started making our 3-blade head, the MD3, he bought some. He was using another popular 3-blade single piece machined head. And so he tried ours to compare it, and he emailed in. He was the only person still to email in. Maybe it's happened more, I don't know, but he's the only person I know of emailing in and saying, I broke the MD3, because it's a single piece of machined tool steel and it's the shape of triangle. So like,
yeah,
super hard to break, super rugged head. That was the whole point. But he broke one. So we like reached out and we're like, yo, how'd you break that? And he's like, well, I've shot 8 pigs and 4 deer with the same head in the last week. And I think I hit the leg of the feeder, you know, the steel leg on the other side of a deer.
Yeah.
And that broke it. And we're like, hold up. You get stuff for free now. We're going to need feedback from you.
No shit. Like, yeah.
It's cool. Yeah.
Exactly. Hold on. Like, I've got a deal for you, buddy.
Okay. Yeah, right.
You give me info, I give you product.
Deal. Yep. So testing has just become such an important piece of developing new products. And we have revised the Aero product so much. And I think it's come a long way. Like, we've got something really good now. Like, we're literally guaranteeing, hey, this will work for you. If it doesn't tune, we're going to work with you till it does, or get you a different set of arrows. As well as, if you break them in a hunting scenario, you send us broken arrows with blood on it, we'll send you a new one. Like, and then on the head stuff too, like, this year we're extending that no fail guarantee to broadheads. Like, my friend Taylor Chamberlain, you might have seen the first light film about him. He's the the guy who shoots deer in town in DC.
I was gonna say, when you said that dude shoots 100 deer a year in South Texas,
yeah, like, Taylor shoots even more than that.
Yeah, Taylor shoots in a couple DC, hundred.
Couple hundred deer a year with a bow in city limits, no less. But yeah. I talked to him recently, and I think I sent him three packs, so nine VBS heads when we got those out. And he started using them, I think, late in October of 22. And by January, he had shot 38 whitetails with two VBS heads. Like, just stacking them up. And just would, like, you know, lightly touch up blades and keep shooting more deer with them. And he's got nine, but he's still using the same two.
Just rotate. So, well,
it's cool, man. It's, and that's, I don't know, so much in our industry is made to be disposable. And I don't like that. So I don't want to make stuff like that. So I'm trying to make stuff that stands some reuse. And if you take care of your stuff, just like anything, it will last, you know?
Yeah. So, what's the big difference between, like, you know, I know a VBS is two blades with bleeders.
Yep.
MD3 is three blades. Why would you recommend one over the other?
Okay. How you're going to use it. I mean, you can resharpen the MD3 to infinity. It's S7 tool steel. It's like literally a tool and die steel. It's going to last a long time unless you smoke a rock at the right angle and you snap it weird, or you get, you know, heavy arrow, long draw, like it's happened. Like, you can break anything, but it's one of the more hard to break heads ever made. And you can resharpen that head on a flat stone. You just turn it three times.
Yeah.
You know, on a smooth flat stone, you can get anywhere, and, you know, you can resharpen that and keep using it. Just don't lose it.
Sure.
And that MD3, it stands for mechanically disadvantaged three blade, because of our research into mechanical advantage in broadheads and, like, what makes a broadhead good, you know? So we just kind of leaned into a theory, made the MD3. It's got a really, like, fat blade angle, and it just makes the gnarliest holes, huge, huge holes, tons of blood. Better blood than the VBS for sure, even though the VBS technically has a bigger cutting diameter. So yeah, and then VBS has replaceable blades. We try to make it easy to reuse VBS blades. You know, even though the blades are curved and kind of hard to sharpen, you can resharpen it on a wheel with a leather belt super easily. You can get your whole resharpening kit at Harbor Freight for like $50. Take care of those heads for a long time. Or you just pop the bolt out, put new blades in. We sell blade kits on the website and have a fresh head. And, you know, everything's high grade materials, good quality steel and titanium. And so, yeah, I don't know, trying to make stuff that lasts, stuff that works and lasts. And we got another head in the works that I think will make waves in a totally new category, as well as a slightly lighter than the ZMR arrow as well. So, good stuff, man. It's fun. We're just going to keep following the data and, like, developing in a direction that where we see people having success, you know?
Yeah.
So that's it.
Dude, that's awesome. That's really cool. Thanks. So when you guys were out hunting pigs, was there, like, when you guys were after, or when you guys shot those 19, were you guys shooting all MD3s or all VBS, or?
Oh, it was a hodgepodge. I mean, okay. I think the only heads we took down there were from, like, a reject pile. So it's stuff that weighs 123 grains, you know, like, stuff like that. So it's all short shots. Nobody shot over 25 yards, I think. And so, we were going through the waste pile at the same time.
Yeah.
What we get to use. in the shop. So
no,
yeah,
leave all the good stuff for the paying customers.
Exactly. Yep.
Right.
Yep.
No, that's cool. So then was there anything that was like eye opening with the pig hunt, with the, you know, in that one?
Oh yeah,
thing?
For sure. I mean, for me, it was just that MV3 head. I shot this one hog. I mean, it was like an 8 yard shot. He was eating corn, you know, like you do in Texas.
Yeah.
And it was a pass through, and then it just instantly looked like a garden hose spraying out right behind his shoulder, like blood like I've never seen out of another animal. So that was cool, you know. And Hunter, that guy in Texas shooting MD3, you know, dozens of animals now that he's killed with, you know, a couple heads. Same, he reports back the same, just ridiculous blood. I'm pretty stoked about that. So that was the big win, you know. That was the first time I shot an animal with the MD3, because it had just come out, you know, shortly before that trip. That was, I think, end of November, beginning of December, maybe, that we went. And then I came home and shot a couple of whitetails with it as well. And it was just the same thing. It just works, man. It's awesome. I shot one whitetail kind of back, shot a doe really kind of far back. She just went right down. That's crazy. So, you know, everything's relative, and there's variables there, you know, at play. So I can't say it'll work for you, but you know, it's fun when you make something and it works. And yeah, just love that.
For sure. That's an interesting time to release a broadhead, is late November.
Well, we had a pre-sale in early September.
Okay.
And we shipped all the pre-sales as soon as they came in. And so when an additional shipment came in from our machine shop, you know, then we were kind of like, that was the first like general in stock MD3s we had. And so by then the season was like mostly over.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, they're sold out right now.
We'll have a lot more. MD3 is always sold out. So you got to get on the wait list if you want to try them, man. Put your email in on that page. And when we put it back in stock, it's a mad dash, and they sell out in a day or two.
No shit. So that's good for you guys. You're going from like
crazy. Can't make enough
tying this all back together to the beginning, going from you like gluing some fletching on, putting in some, adding some components to the front.
That's crazy.
You know, doing your thing, to selling out in a day or two in a broadhead that you guys came out with, you know, 3 months ago, 4 months ago. Like, that's
it's
pretty
cool.
Bad. That's awesome.
I'm very, very thankful. And I can't take almost any of the credit at this point. All the broadhead development and creation was done by Brad and Ben from our team. They're brilliant. They're smart dudes. And yeah, thankful for good people, good team.
That's awesome.
Everybody here loves killing stuff with an arrow, man. So we're, you know, this is the first year that we'll have over 12 months with new product before releasing it. I mean, every time we release a new product from here out, it's going to have a spreadsheet that we'll publish with every line is confirmed kills with data. How was the blood trail? How far did the animal run? What was the angle it was shot at? Hundreds. We're going to have hundreds of reports. You know, that's any cool broadhead or arrow, like that's the plan, man. So we've been fortunate to hear to use customer data for that stuff.
Right.
Like now we're gonna launch, you know, past that point of things being proven, you know, which the only thing I feel like we didn't do that with really was the initial HMR arrow, where it's that product has changed a lot. The ZMR not so much. That's pretty much how we launched it, but the HMR has changed a ton.
Mm-hmm.
Like, so
yeah,
pretty nuts.
It is, man. It's wild. All Very right, thankful. Dude. Well, anything else? I mean, we covered all the topics that I wanted to cover and then some.
Yeah, it's been a minute. We've been recording for a while.
Is there anything else you wanted? Is there anything coming up this summer or anything that people should somewhat keep an eye out for or anything like that?
Yeah, we'd love for if you're, you know, committed to enough time in the woods this fall that you feel it would be worth joining our study. We run a research project called Data Kills. So that's at datakills.com. And it's super just basic right now. But at the moment, if you're interested in joining, go to datakills.com and enter your email. We'll keep you in the loop on when studies go live. But basically, we just want to have a report from you. It's a survey that you'll get to fill out every time you shoot an arrow at a deer. Whether it's a good hit or a bad hit, we want you to commit to telling us what happened and how far did the deer run? How was the blood trail? What was the angle of the shot? Did you get a pass through? Did you recover the deer? Which major organs did you hit? All that stuff, because we want to know at scale, when we have thousands of people reporting data, like understand to help educate this community of bow hunters on what equipment and tactics yield the highest success and the shortest blood trails and, you know, the highest rates of recovery. And what are those extremes that we need to stay away from? Like this year in 2022, we ran this study, had several hundred bow hunters participate, and the highest frequency of deer not recovered was arrows over 600 grains.
Really?
Yeah. So like, that's very interesting. Now we get to ask why, you know, and most of the time from the data that we've collected, it was because they made a bad shot, and it was probably due to that arrow being, you know, yeah, it's your range, you know. You range a deer and he's still moving and you take a shot, you know, it's not where you ranged him. So there's a lot of variables. So we're trying to build tools to help guys like us unpack the variables, understand the limitations of your equipment, and go after those high success scenarios or categories of equipment. So
interesting.
There you go.
Yeah, dude. I think that's a great thing for anyone listening, like join that Data Kills just to do it. Like if I join Data Kills, do I get the info out of it too? Do I get to?
Oh yeah. Everything will be open sourced. In fact, we're just, we send all the data to a third party. We're not even touching the data. I don't care what it says. Like I don't care to tinker with what it says. I want to know what's true, so that I can continue developing product in the right direction, like to make people more successful. So
yeah,
cool. It's all analyzed elsewhere. Actually, you said Trad Lab, Cody Greenwood handles all the data.
Oh, no shit.
Yep.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. There you go. Yeah. So
and it was his idea. All credit to Cody.
Gotcha. That's freaking cool, dude. That's really cool. Awesome. And I think it'll help a lot of people a lot of people who are on the fence. You're always going to have those guys who are like, well, that's not me. You know, I can shoot a 700 grain arrow and crush them. Like this guy must just suck, which is cool. Like, that's fine.
That's a factor. Really well. That's a real factor.
Right. But there's other people like me where I was like 3-4 years ago, which is like, okay, what's the highest odds? Like, I just need something that's in the ballpark. Mm-hmm. That's really going to like get me roughly where I need to be.
Right.
And like, that would be what I'm looking for, that data. I'm not looking to be cool yet. I'm looking to just be average.
Right.
So
yeah, I hear you, man.
That works. All right. Well, Isaac, if people want to find you, methodarchery.com.
That's it. Method Archery on social, methodarchery.com. Info at methodarchery.com. Email, questions, happy to help.
All right. Awesome. Well, thank you so much for taking the time. Appreciate it tonight, Isaac.
Appreciate it, dude. Good to catch up.
Yeah, for sure. We will. Oh, last thing before everyone leaves. These guys are right out of Wisconsin too. So if you're in Wisconsin, or the Midwest or anything, this is a local shop for you. So guys are in Janesville. Would that be right?
Yeah, we're in Milton, Wisconsin. Just outside of Janesville. Yeah.
Okay, Milton. There you go. Yeah. All right. Fantastic. All right. Thank you everyone for listening. Catch you later.